Welcome to Museum Meetup, where we explore the Western Slope's scientific and cultural past. We are your hosts, Kaya Michaelis and Libby Early from the Museums of Western Colorado. Our guest today is Matt Darling, who is our curator of Cross Orchard's historic site, part of the Museums of Western Colorado. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
So we wanted to talk to you today a little bit about a new, kind of new anyway, artifact in our collection. Tell us.
Well, yes. Recently, we were, a little spring cleanup, and out in the large surplus wood pile, we were just, getting rid of some items, moving a couple around, and we found a historic railroad tie from what we originally deduced from the narrow gauge main line when it was originally built back in the 1880s. And, it's, old, rotten, but because of the dry climate around here, it had not, rotted away. And for unknown reasons, it was just kind of buried in the pile. And I looked at it, got kind of excited, pulled it to the side, and said, hey, we have to save this. This is a piece of our history. Being a narrow gauge tie, that's kind of rare around here. Now, granted, you go down to Silverton, Colorado, you'll find them everywhere. But here in Grand Junction, the railroads are built to what's called standard gauge, which is, 4 feet, 8.5 inches. Narrow gauge is 3 feet. And one of the ways I was able to prove that it was a narrow gauge tie is the old spikes were still in the wood at 3 feet apart. So after getting it set aside, we were like, oh, cool. Wait a minute. Where did this exactly come from? Because clearly it's narrow gauge. It's old. It's rotten. The way it's shaped showed that it was narrow gauge. But did it come from the little Booklift Railway? Probably not. Did it come from the Uinta Railway? Maybe. That would be really cool because the Uinta Railway was a very unique piece of history. But in all likelihood, it came from the old Denver and Rio Grande main line west of Grand Junction that went to Salt Lake City. Most likely because of just a sheer volume of ties, because there's about 3,200 ties per mile. And also the old narrow gauge west of Mack was out in the middle of nowhere. And after they scrapped the railroad, there are bits and pieces left out there that ranchers would find, and that's about it. So my guess, educated guess, is that it was out there in the desert. Someone's grabbed it and brought it to Cross Orchards, and it just got missed. And so we found it, and it's now safely inside, so it won't rot anymore.
That's awesome. So that does bring up a question I have. I don't know lots about trains, as you know. You said that because the spikes were 3 feet apart, that tells you it's narrow gauge. So were the spikes the same distance apart down the length of the track as it was wide? Is that?
Well, it's called gauge because the rails have to be a very specific width to be in proper gauge. Mm-hmm. And with narrow gauge, that's 3 feet. So that the wheels don't fall off the tracks. Because with a train, there's no steering. The rails tell the train where to go. So they have to be very carefully laid out at, 3 feet apart or 4 feet, 8.5 inches apart. So, the front wheels on a train, they don't steer. They just follow the tracks.
So the 3 feet apart is the narrow gauge width. And you said 4 feet, 8 inches apart is standard gauge?
Yes, standard gauge is 4 feet, 8.5 inches apart.
8.5 inches.
That goofy number is... best guess through history is it's based off the width of the old Roman chariots, and the British were the first to build railroads in the 1820s, and they basically were just copying the old Roman roads in Great Britain, and they just chose 4 feet, 8.5 inches, and the world ended up standard gauging on that. Although there are some railroads that are
really
different.
Yeah, that's really...
It's a little odd, but that's the best story they have.
Yeah, that's not a direct line from...
No.
So when you say standard gauge, if we were to go out on the railroad tracks that go through Grand Junction and we measured that out, all the trains that we see nowadays are standard gauge?
Yes. The American standard, North American standard, is 4 feet, 8.5 inches. If you ride Amtrak, that's the width of the tracks that you're going on. Same as in Canada, Mexico, most of the world uses standard gauge, hence it's called standard gauge.
So are there any narrow gauge railroads that are still running in the country?
Yes, quite a few. One is the Durango and Silverton down in Four Corners. I highly recommend it. Another one, which is basically stepping back into history, is called the Cumbres and Toltec in Chama, New Mexico. Basically, Chama, New Mexico hasn't changed much in the last 70 years. It's just a piece of history in northern New Mexico, and it's just amazing. There's also the Georgetown Loop in Silver Plume, Colorado.
So those are most, for the most part, though, they're serving as attractions or historical attractions?
Yes.
And is there, are there any that are being used as rail lines anymore, or is that sort of outdated?
Actually, there is still a freight hauling narrow gauge railroad in the United States. It's called U.S. Gypsum, and it's in southern California, just north of the Mexico border. And they haul gypsum out of a gypsum quarry, and it was built narrow gauge many decades ago, and they never modified it. And they actually use modern diesel-electric locomotives to haul the gypsum out of the desert.
Huh.
It's the last freight hauling narrow gauge railroad in North America.
Okay.
So what made lots of railroad companies change to be standard gauge?
Well, narrow gauge is actually an aberration of Colorado and Utah because of the steep mountains. William Jackson Palmer, he built narrow gauge because thinking, oh, the smaller, narrower trains would be able to climb the mountains more easily. It didn't quite work, but you know, in the 1870s, all the rails of Colorado were narrow gauge. Most of the rest of the country built to standard gauge. And the Rio Grande, which Palmer built, was actually forced to convert to standard gauge after the legendary Colorado Midland was built. Palmer basically had, well, the Rio Grande had the choice of adapt to the standard model or perish. So the narrow gauge, it stuck around in branch line areas like Durango and Chama. But the main line, like through here in Grand Junction, was converted to standard gauge in the 1890s so that it could compete more easily.
Okay. So here's my other random question of the day. You ready? So a while ago, I did ride the Silverton Railroad, and it felt very swayy compared to other trains I've been on. Is that like a function of being that narrow rail?
Partly, but it's mostly because the Durango and Silverton, their top speed is 15 miles an hour. So they're building their track to maintain train speeds at 15, 20 miles an hour. The tracks we see like around here, the top speed of the freight trains is 60 miles an hour, but the trains are huge. You know, one freight car can haul 100 tons of material. So the rails are very heavily built. And Amtrak tops out at 79 miles an hour. So the quality of the track dictates the ride. So like if you go to New England, where Amtrak has their Acela train that tops out at 160 miles an hour, that is state-of-the-art precision track where there is no variance of any kind. On the Durango and Silverton, I'm not saying it's not safe. It's just they're not building it for speed. So yes, there is more swaying back and forth. But you're just going 15 miles an hour. You're enjoying the scenery and the ambiance of riding on a train. Most of the cars were built in the 1870s and have been lovingly restored by the Durango shops.
I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Museum Meetup. We are talking with Matt Darling, the curator of Cross Orchards, and we're talking all about narrow gauge railway trains. So, Matt, can you talk a little bit about the different narrow gauge rail lines that came through Grand Junction historically? There were three rail lines that this railroad tie could have come from.
Mm-hmm.
And can you talk a little bit about the different rail lines?
Yeah, sure. We'll start out with the little guy, the Little Bookcliff Railway. It was just a little 12-mile branch line that was built from downtown Grand Junction up to the ghost town of Carpenter. It was a mining town for coal. And there's very, very little left of the Little Bookcliff, except at the Museum of Western Colorado, where we have a few pieces of rusty components that were actually found when they built the Justice Center downtown. They were digging the foundation, and they hit this old piece of railroad iron, stopped, called Dave Bailey at the museum and said, "We found this piece of railroad junk, we think. Could you come identify it?" So there's very little left of the Little Bookcliff, but it ran from downtown, now by First Street, up to Bookcliff until 1923. All they ever really did was haul coal, but they did try to do tourism. They even renamed the town of Carpenter Poland Springs to try to make it sound as a fancier place.
Was it fancy at all?
No. It was at the foothills of the Book Cliffs. It has a nice view if you go up to Carpenter of the valley.
I have heard that the climate used to be different, so that a lot of people would go up there to do wildflower scenic tours for the day, and that it was a pleasurable place to go picnic. And now it's quite a bit more arid now that our climate has changed a little bit.
Yes, there is actually a little spring above the old town of Carpenter. That's part of the reasons why they called it Poland Springs. But yes, in the 1890s, it was a little bit cooler, a little bit wetter, and there was more vegetation up there. But even the old photographs, they were pushing it by calling it a spring. But they were trying to appeal to tourism. They even came up with a thing called the Go Devil, which was literally just a bench with wheels, and you let gravity go nuts and ride down. It worked mostly, but it didn't have an engine, so when it hit 11th or North Avenue, the ground was too flat, and it would just roll to a stop, and you have to push it back into Grand Junction.
I was with you until North Avenue.
It went through downtown.
Yeah.
So another railroad was Uinta Railway, which we have a very large exhibit on the Uinta Railway at Cross. It was basically the steepest, most crooked narrow gauge railroad ever built in North America. It went up and over the Book Cliffs on the crazy steep Baxter Pass to the Gilsonite mines in the Dragon, Utah area. All they ever did was haul Gilsonite and sheep. The railroad was 7.5% on the grade. And the curves were 66 degrees.
Wow.
They had custom-designed locomotives to go around the sharp curves. And they ran from 1904 to 1939. They actually were able to do quite a good tourist business, because up at the top of Baxter Pass, it was actually quite much cooler, And wildfire excursions. All the railroads tried to do wildflower excursions. The Colorado Midland, which went through Leadville, they were legendary for their wildflower excursions. And you mentioned the third, and that was the original Rio Grande narrow gauge main line built through this area. Like I said, it got converted to standard gauge in 1890. In 1882 or 83, when they finished the railroad through Grand Junction, everything was narrow gauge. It was just cheaper and easier to build.
Great. Wow. Well, Matt, thank you so much for sharing all that stuff. We will have some more in-depth information about all of this on our blog. So please look out on our blog for a deeper explanation of how Matt was able to deduce where this railroad tie found at Cross Orchards was, and that it was part of the Denver Rio Grande Railway. You have been listening to Museum Meetup, where we explore the Western Slope scientific and cultural past. This segment airs on the third Thursday of every month on KAFM's Community Affairs. You can also listen to podcasts at kafmradio.org. We are Kaya and Libby from Museums of Western Colorado. Please join Museums of Western Colorado at our Cross Orchards Farmers Market Wednesdays and Saturdays all through the summer, 8 to noon. Please join us.